No offense, but your brain is a terrible place to keep your big idea. It belongs in the world, but you know that already. You have a calling, a voice that says, this is what I'm meant to do. Create the website your big idea deserves with Wix. Make it your own with top-to-bottom customization, AI to help realize your vision, and built-in business tools to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix supports every stage of the business journey, except one. Your decision to begin. Ready? Go to Wix.com.
Experience the flavors of Latin America event at Whole Foods Market. With deals on vibrant ingredients and zesty creations store-wide, save on no antibiotics ever meat like chicken thighs and marinated skirt steak, fresh avocados, plus street food-inspired items and more through March 25th.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.
Now, one of the most contentious issues for those who live in apartments, particularly those who live in apartments that they own, are management companies and management company fees and what they get for their money and what to do about people who do not pay those management fees. Well, to talk about all of this, I'm joined by Aislinn Keenan, director of the Apartment Owners Network, as she's author of the book Owners Management Company Law and Best Practice, and by Dr. Sarah Hamill, assistant professor of the School of Law in Trinity College in Dublin. Good morning and welcome to you both. Now, first of all, Aislinn, what is the Apartment Owners Network?
So the Apartment Owners Network is the main advocacy group for apartment owners in Ireland. And we represent many apartment owners throughout the country, informing them of their duties and their rights as owners in multi-unit developments.
Now, you're talking about ordinary Joe Soap or Josephine Soap who buy an apartment and are living in it and live often in blissful ignorance of the management company law and all the rest of it.
Well, absolutely. And the main reason for that blissful ignorance that you speak about there is probably to do with how young the sector is in the country. If we consider that the Multi-Unit Developments Act came in 2011, and that's very recent in legal terms, the sector itself has grown from the Celtic Tiger era, where a lot of apartment blocks got built in Ireland. And what followed that was the legislation in the area and the regulation and the licensing of property services providers. Yeah. All of that followed the building of these apartment blocks, and it continues.
Now, often people will mistake the people who are doing the work, like changing the light bulbs, cutting the grass, etc., for the management company. That's not so. The management company is something different. What is it?
Yes, that's right. What we find in the sector, and particularly it comes back to the fact that it's a young sector, is the understanding deficit amongst all stakeholders, primarily property owners. And so a property owner will come along, they buy an apartment. They become a member of the management company.
Automatically.
They are a member of the management company by law, and they are bound to all of the rules of company law that govern their membership of the management company. The management company is made up of a group of property owners who will hire a managing agent, and the managing agent will represent the management company in all of the activities from a legal perspective also. And the managing agent will then hire contractors to carry out the works in the development, yeah, such as you say,
grass cutting. And the light bulbs to be replaced.
That's
maintenance,
right.
of a general kind around the place. Mm-hmm. So where do the problems arise?
Well, one of the main problems is the understanding deficit among property owners and all stakeholders. It isn't just the property owners. Because the sector is so new and because the legislation is so new, there's little precedent for issues that arise and conflicts that arise. The understanding deficit is the main thing. And from the Apartment Owners Network perspective that I just spoke about there, as an advocacy group, the Apartment Owners Network worked tirelessly to help fill this understanding yeah. deficit. So, for example, on the 5th of December, there is a presentation by Dean Regan of OMC Governance on the operations of these management companies and what property owners can, how they can get better value for money from how it's run.
What's the job of the management company?
The management company exists to represent all property owners and their legal interest in the property.
No, but does it have particular responsibilities, for example, to maintain the place in good order? Now, they do it through an agent and contractors, as you mentioned. Do they have an obligation to set up a sinking fund so that if the roof falls in 20 years' time, they've got the money to repair the roof? That kind of thing.
Yes,
have they specific responsibilities?
Yes, the management company has all of the responsibility for that. So the management company own the entire apartment block, the common areas, the walls, the roof and stairwells, the car parks, all of the common areas are owned by the management company. So the management company has responsibility in law for the maintenance and repair of all of those buildings.
The management company then can make decisions. Are they majority decisions?
In some cases, they're majority decisions, but not in all cases. And so, for example, the annual service charge budget can be approved by not less than 75% of the membership.
What happens if there isn't enough money voted for every year? Because you get curmudgeons who say, I'm not paying that. I don't
That's right.
A value for money there. I'm not going to pay you whatever, $1,000 a year, $2,000 a year, whatever it might be, because I don't perceive value for money. What happens then?
Yes, that's right. And that's commonplace, Pat, and that's a problem. What happens is the work doesn't get done, the buildings don't get maintained, and the company may very well fall foul of their obligations under company law. Because money's required to maintain all of these.
What happens when people simply don't pay at all and you have absentee landlords because you have they rent them to whoever, they get the bill for the annual fee and they just don't pay it. And you've got people squatting and paying rent to this absentee landlord who's not paying his due.
Yes, that's right. And there are situations where that does arise. So these management companies operate on the principle of a collective responsibility arrangement. And in a collective responsibility arrangement, you have a group of property owners coming together from all different backgrounds, standards, values, principles. So you'll get a cohort who will be really good payers, and they'll pay their service charges within the first week. So there's lots of different categories of the service charge payer. And in some cases, there will be, as you say, those who don't pay.
Yeah.
The mechanism to deal with that is the normal debt collection process through the courts. It's cumbersome. It's not ideal for the sector. But because the sector is so young, there's work being done on that with the Law Society to try to bring in better measures, particularly for debt collection and management
now,
companies.
Now, Sarah, what do you make of the law as it stands at the moment?
Well, when we compare it to other jurisdictions who have had longer experience with this, or what we have in Ireland to recover some of these debts, it's very naive, because the legislation as a whole, if you read it here, it's very trusting. It trusts that people are going to do the right thing, and it's not very good on enforcing it when they don't. So, for example, if we look at the condominium laws in parts of North America, for example, in Ontario, what happens if somebody doesn't pay their condo fees is there's effectively a special type of charge put on the relevant unit.
There's a lien put on the house, so
yeah,
or the apartment. And when it gets sold, the management company gets the money out of the proceeds,
well,
or maybe it can't even be sold.
Well, actually, what would happen is I was rereading the relevant Ontario legislation earlier this week, and they can enforce it like a mortgage. So they could potentially foreclose on that property.
They could seize the property.
They potentially could. And in England, under their rules, and they have very, very different rules than we do, but the lease could actually be forfeit. And that does happen sometimes to particularly landlords who live outside of England. They are vulnerable to losing their property in that way. Now, that's maybe a bit stricter than we would want here. It's very, very harsh in England. But I do think that we might need to consider actually putting a bit of a charge on the property.
The state, when it's doing its own business, does this. The property tax, for example, when you eventually sell the house, if you haven't paid your property tax, it has accumulated with penalties and interest, I suppose. So the revenue get their whack of the property tax as that property's been sold.
Yeah.
Now, you know, if you're waiting 20 years, the state has patience. But in a private development, you may not be prepared to wait for a property to be sold to retrieve the management fees that are due.
That's true. Now, technically speaking, when a delinquent owner in any sort of apartment development in Ireland sells, the arrears should be cleared and you would have to disclose that as part of the selling process. But there's a few technicalities there, which Aisling is probably well aware of, just in the way that the debt is structured, in that the debt is potentially vulnerable to being statutorily barred. And obviously trying to recover the debt before that happens, that's going to add costs. It's going to add more costs to the owners who do pay. So the owners who do pay and who do pay promptly effectively subsidise all of the other owners. Oh,
so we need reform. Is there any reform underway?
Well, I've heard talk of reform, but I think that's momentarily stalled in light of the sort of the pandemic situation. So we're coming out of that. But I think that there is an urgent need for reform. And one of the things that we should look at is we know the likely issues that are going to emerge based on the experiences of other jurisdictions. For example, buildings that it's simply too expensive to repair them. Or situations where we have owners who are very, very disruptive, and how can we force them out? And there's emerging case law from Canada on this, and this is something that I think we need to pay attention to in any reforms.
Okay, so you know how difficult it is with the Tenancies Board at the moment. If you've got tenants who are not paying anything, how long it takes to get rid of them, and how no arrears will ever be forthcoming from these disruptive tenants. So, you know, since it's in its infancy, this property ownership, perhaps we should nip it in the bud now.
We absolutely should. And I mean, certainly any eviction process where you're forcing an owner-occupier to sell is going to be lengthy, and it is going to need various forms of due process in order to be fully constitutional and to abide by all of their rights and to be fair. But when that property is sold, you would hope that the owner's management company would be in a position to recover arrears. And certainly I would be in favour of amending the legislation to make that so.
OK. Now, in terms of advice generally to property owners, the management company, a lot of them, as I say, just, you know they're a member of it, but they just could not be bothered turning up for that AGM. How important is it?
Well, turning up for the AGM is very important because it's where all of the decisions are made. One of the problems that we see with management companies around the country is property owner apathy, where they are not as engaged as they should be. The owner's management company operates on the principle of a collective responsibility arrangement, and that means that it's all voluntary. So there must be at least two directors of the management company. And the problem with getting volunteer directors to go on in management companies so that the management company can continue to operate in law and represent all property owners, that's a problem. And with low turnout at annual general meetings, to try to get people to go on as directors is one of the big problems that there is. The value of the property owner's investment is at risk for as long as they decide not to engage.
Okay. And if you think your property charges are too high, the only way you can address that is transparency. Look at the annual accounts, see where the money's going, see is it value for money, is there a better way? You can do that at the management company and try and sort it out. Here's a question, a legal question. If you have a link under your sink and the pipe bursts, and then downstairs in the block has flood damage, the management company say, not our problem, your flood, you must pay. Is that the situation, Sarah?
Well, so theoretically, you're going to need to have several forms of insurance, and that's quite a technical question.
I mean, there would be block insurance for those kind of things.
There would be,
rather than, you know, contents insurance where you insure your own valuables.
Yeah.
But the whole complex would have a joint insurance, and that should cover things like flooding, should it not?
It should, but it may turn on where the pipe is, and certainly I think you know.
Okay, you're nodding your head there, actually.
So yeah, I mean, a water leak that goes from one apartment down into the other is very commonplace, and in practical terms,
Who pays?
The insurance company.
Okay, irrespective of where the pipe is.
It's an insurable peril under the insurance policy. One difficulty with that is if there's too many water claims, the excess on the insurance policy for water damage claims might be higher than the cost of repairing it. But in essence, it's an insurable peril.
Okay. Someone else saying, I pay over $3,000 in management fees. My neighbour does too, but rents the property. And therefore, since it's revenue, he actually can get a tax rebate of his management fees from the revenue.
Yeah, now that is a problem for property owners who are owner-occupiers in an owner's management company scenario. And the Apartment Owners Network have lobbied the government on this particular point. For example, if the government bring out a tax initiative for property owners to do up their property in an individual scenario, they'll get a tax break. But when it comes to the owner's management company, because it's a company and a commercial activity, the management company don't get that tax benefit because they are a commercial operation. And that's disadvantageous to owner-occupiers in apartment blocks. And the Apartment Owners Network is constantly lobbying for representative for the owners on
what
that.
What I'm hearing here, Zara, we need massive legal change and intervention to regularise the sector. And all we have to do is not reinvent the wheel. Look elsewhere. Take best practice and implement it.
That's exactly right. And certainly there's scope to consider different forms of tax relief. Like if you owned your own home and you were repairing there, what tax reliefs do you get there? Should you get something similar in if you own an apartment and something like that? So, there is scope for significant reforms to make it more equitable for owners depending on what they own.
Well, thank you both for joining me. Dr. Sara Hamill, Assistant Professor at the School of Law at Trinity College in Dublin, and Aisling Keane, Director of the Apartment Owners Network and author of the book Owners, Management, Company, Law and Best Practice.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
What's the difference between DIY and doing it yourself? It's the difference between a part-time passion and a full-time business. Wix gives you the power to turn your passion into a moneymaker with a website that fits your unique vision and the business tools you need to succeed. Let your ideas flow with AI that guides you, but keeps you in the driver's seat. Manage your business from one dashboard and keep it growing with built-in marketing features. It's time to turn your daydream into your dream job. Do it yourself. Go to Wix.com.